The following's intended solely for the use of those with a sense of adventure.
I'm shaking the dust of this town off my feet, and I'm going to see the world.
This is Travel with Hawkeye. Here's your host, Mark Hawkeye Lewis.
Very excited about the podcast today because my wife and I are about to head out to New York City for our 10th wedding anniversary. She's always wanted to experience New York City at Christmas time and has begged me for years to go. So we are going to do that. And by the way, you can join our exploits if you follow us on Instagram at Hawkeye On Air, at Hawkeye On Air on Instagram. That's also our accounts for Facebook and Twitter. And we'll be sharing some of our stories and stuff that we'll be doing in New York City. But on our podcast today, we're going to be talking to Kaz Makepeace from the Wide Travel Blog. She is a blog post on things to do in New York City over Christmas time for your kids, but really kind of for adults too. And I kind of want, this is kind of self-centered, to be honest, but I was going through the blog and I thought, well, you know what, we should talk about this on the podcast. So we have that going on. And also very excited about this too. Wolfgang Puck has opened a brand new restaurant in Manhattan, and we're going to talk to him about that, and also some of his influences from around the world and just traveling and food in general. We'll talk to Wolfgang a little bit later on in the podcast. But first, from the Wide Travel Blog, Kaz Makepeace. And Kaz, it's kind of interesting because when I was Googling what to do in New York City over the Christmas season, your blog came up first, and I thought, wow, that's fantastic, because first of all, it's a great blog post, but secondly, I know Kaz, and I think that's great, so I thought I'd have you on the podcast today. But I will tell people this, be careful, your New York accent is really thick.
I know, I'm a bit concerned that people might not be able to understand me. I wish I was able to pretend I had one right now.
Well, that's like actually the funny, ironic thing about all this is the person who, in my opinion, is the expert on traveling to New York City during the Christmas season is actually from the land down under, actually from Australia.
That's right. Well, I think we're taking over New York City with all our great coffee at the moment.
Now, do you live in the do you live in the city now? I mean, is that where your family lives now?
In New York, no. We live in Raleigh.
Okay. North Carolina. Okay. All right. But I'm just a big fan of your travel blog. I have for a long time. We had you on about a year ago, and I always enjoy it. And so I thought it was pretty funny when I Googled that you guys came up. So anyway,
awesome.
Let's talk a little bit about New York City. The first thing I kind of gather is there's actually a lot of free stuff to do in New York City during the Christmas season.
Yeah, there really is. And just wandering around the city is, you know, entertaining enough. And it just, New York just has this wonderful magic about it during the Christmas season. There's decorations everywhere. You have Fifth Avenue with all their stores that are all done up in beautiful lights and Christmas decorations. And there's carols and all sorts of fun things happening throughout the city.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing my wife really wanted to go. And I didn't even know this was a thing until a couple of years ago. But the department stores are very famous in New York City for their window dressings. I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, they make announcements like when they're going to unveil it.
Oh, yeah, it's huge. And the lineups to see them are really incredible. I was quite surprised being there at Christmas last year at, you know, having to line up to see these window dressings. But they're really incredible, and they're really worth spending some time and haggling with the crowds to go and see them.
You have to line. I had no idea that you have to. There's a lineup to go see them.
Yeah, we had to get in a line to cross the road, like to wait for the traffic light.
Wow,
it was crazy! It was so busy. But this was on the night when the lighting of the tree happened in Rockefeller Center.
Oh, okay. Which in itself is pretty spectacular too.
Oh yeah, I mean they were turning people away. I think they had nearly 2 million people turn up to see that, which is really, you know, intense. So a lot of those people spilled out onto the streets to have a look at those window displays instead.
Now, when we're talking about some of the department stores, we're talking like Saks Fifth Avenue and Macy's and stuff. Would you say it's better to go in the daytime or the nighttime to see the department store windows, or does it even matter?
You know, that's such a great question. And I think it's nice to see them at both times of the day. But the thing about going in the nighttime, especially in Saks Fifth Avenue, is they have this incredible lighting show on the whole entire building. They take it over and put on these gorgeous light displays. So that's really impressive and worth seeing at the nighttime.
Okay, well, that will be added to the list. And also, you were talking about Rockefeller Center, but Rockefeller Center is another great thing to do for free to go there, but it's more than just the tree.
Yeah, I mean, it has all the decorations up, and then, you know, it's a shopping area as well. And they also have ice skating there, which is really popular. And there are different places around the city where you can ice skate, but Rockefeller Center is one of the popular ones.
Yeah, okay. So that's one of the things that my wife wanted to do also was ice skating. And I know I've been to Rockefeller Center during the holiday season, and I've seen like how long it is, and it's not actually a big rink. And you actually mentioned a couple different places. I told my wife, I said, I think we'd have more fun if we went to Central Park to go ice skating. And that's one of the places, too, that you mentioned in your list.
Yes, and I did Rockefeller Center many, many years ago, and you're right, it is small and tiny and cramped. And we also did Central Park, which I thought was a much better experience. And you have the gorgeous views of the New York skyline. You're in Central Park. It's really beautiful. However, on our last trip when we took our girls last year, we went ice skating in Bryant Park, which I feel is a much more magical experience. We just enjoyed that so much more. Bryant Park is just a beautiful park space within the city, and the skyline there is really pretty as well. And it's quite small, but big enough to enjoy yourself. It doesn't get too crowded if you get there early enough. And the park is surrounded by Christmas markets. So there's a lot going on there, and it's just a really cool, fun, festive place to ice skate.
Now, Bryant Park, correct me if I'm wrong, that's right by the New York Public Library. Is that correct?
It is, yes.
You know,
it's very pretty.
You know what's interesting is I lived in New York City in the 80s for a year, and people don't believe me when I say how bad New York City was. And that park was known for the place to stay away from unless you were buying drugs. That's what that park was known for in the 80s. And now it's amazing. Like, now you take your kids there for Christmas.
Exactly. We've had many people tell us that, actually. And now it's just this wonderful, family-friendly, safe place, which it was one of my favorite things to do in New York at Christmas time.
Well, very cool. All right. Well, we're definitely going to go ice skating, so that's definitely going to be on our list. But you also mentioned the Christmas markets, and there's a lot of, like, shopping markets, you know, for the holiday season outside of the department stores and regular stores, and you highly recommend those also on your blog.
Yeah, I mean, they're great. You can walk around and do your Christmas shopping, but they'll have the eggnog and Christmas drinks and Christmas food. And again, it's just that wonderful, warm spirit there. So they have the ones at Bryant Park, which I really liked. There's some at Central Park as well. Union Square, they're quite popular for their holiday markets too.
Okay, so that I'm sure we'll do that. My wife will want to do some of the shopping and stuff. I think we're going to bring the empty suitcase for our trip back.
Yes.
Now, Macy's, they're kind of in a class by themselves because they're known for their Santa Land, correct?
Yes, they are. So Santa Land is, if you want to go, if you want to take the kids, or even if you want to go without the kids, you want to book your experience online. Otherwise, you won't get a chance to go in and see Santa. But it's very elaborate. You walk through his house and it's all decorated, and it's like you're in the North Pole, and you go through his Santa's workshop. There's pine trees decorated in there, and eventually you get to sit on Santa's lap at the very end.
Okay, now, two things here, okay? First of all, I had no idea that you had to book this online, so that is great advice right there, because it's that popular.
Yes.
The other thing is, okay, this is kind of a little bit embarrassing, but I don't really care to sit in Santa's lap, but I kind of want to go through this entire thing. Do I have to book that to go through the whole Santa Land?
Yes, you do, because you have to book the visit with Santa to actually experience the Winter Wonderland. But, I mean, you can just say, hey, Santa, from afar, and then walk back out.
Okay, here's the final question on this, too. Is it weird that a husband and wife, two adults, are going to book a trip to Santa Land? I mean, are we going to be the only ones without kids there? I mean, I'm serious.
Not at all. I don't think so. I think that's the magic of Christmas in New York. You can just become a child again.
Okay, all right, because it does sound pretty spectacular. I really want to walk through that, so okay.
Now, best looking Santa I've ever seen, too. The most real looking Santa.
What do you mean? I don't get what you even mean by that. There's only one Santa.
Yeah. You're okay. Right, actually. I'm a bit confused there.
All right, a little bit confused there. Okay. Now, this is something that we've already done, too. And I did this as a kid a long time ago, and my wife was so excited, and I'm so proud that we booked this. And you have this on your list, things of experience. We're going to Radio City Music Hall for their Christmas Spectacular. I can't remember really what all that entails. I do know the Rockettes come out at the end, though.
Yes, exactly. Now, this was something we didn't get to experience, but I put it into our blog content because it is hugely popular. It's one of the biggest things to do at Christmas time. So Radio City, you know, is a very famous music hall. The Rockettes helped to make that famous. So Christmas is their kind of very special show where they come out and do their high-flying kicks in their Santa suits, or elf suits, I guess.
Yeah, I went as a kid, and I still remember to this day. I don't think we went during Christmas time, though, but I mean, because you can see this throughout the year. But even the hall, my wife's never even been in Radio City Music Hall. It is magnificent. Now, there's a couple people have told me about this place. This is on your list, and it's a German restaurant in New York City called Rolf's Bar and Restaurant. And people have this as a place to go during Christmas, and I don't really understand what's going on in here and why everybody has this on their list.
Yeah, well, you know, we didn't get a chance to experience this, but we had so many people tell us about it. It's a New York institution. This restaurant has been around for a very long time. It is incredible, just the decorations and the light displays that the owner puts inside this restaurant. And so it has German food and snacks and everything you expect from a German restaurant, but these elaborate Christmas decorations and lights. So apparently it's just full of good cheer and amazing Christmas spirit.
Also on the list, and I got to talk to these people a couple of years ago. We had them on our travel show, the folks from the New York Botanical Gardens. And they're known throughout the city. And this is out in the Bronx, so it's a bit of a haul to get out there. But they're known for their train show, and it's supposed to be quite spectacular.
It is. So if you want to head out there, and they have, you know, the model trains that they're well known for, that chugs along the track, and they have all the miniature New York City landmarks, you know, Empire State Building, Radio City Hall, all of that. And it's all made out of, you know, natural leaves and twigs and barks and berries, all those wonderful sort of Christmassy type material that you'd expect to see.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things to do. And as you have noticed, there's a lot of things for families to do. In fact, the kind of funny thing is the original title for your blog is Things for You to Do with Your Kids at Christmas Time. But like you said, everybody gets to be a kid at Christmas time.
Exactly. Perfect time for it. Perfect excuse.
Well, Kaz, I'm going to put a link to your article on our blog at travelwithhawkeye.net. And so people can see this because you've got links to all the different things we talked about and a few more things also. But we're very excited about Christmas. And thank you so much for the few moments today. And one last question before I let you go, okay? I think that my wife and I are not really prepared for the weather because we live in Texas.
Yeah.
It's pretty cold. It's pretty cold at Christmas time in New York City, isn't it?
It is, yes. And as an Australian, I'm never prepared for it as well. But we had a mixture when we went. We had some warm days, but then we did have some days where it snowed, which I think just brings the magic out more in New York at Christmas time when it snows. So you will enjoy that part of it. But you're walking around a lot. You're ducking in and out of places. It's not as bad as what you think.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for your time. Even though it's still a ways before Christmas, you and your family have a great Christmas. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. You have a great time in New York.
Totally looking forward to our time in New York. And I would encourage you to follow our exploits on our Instagram account at Hawkeye On Air. Whenever we travel, we always like to post on Instagram at Hawkeye On Air is the site that we use to post most of our travel stuff. Also in New York City is a brand new restaurant from Wolfgang Puck called Cut. Wolfgang is joining us now on the Travel with Hawkeye podcast. And Wolfgang, I'm very excited about my wife and I. We're celebrating our 10th anniversary in New York City. And you opened your very first restaurant in Manhattan, and we'd really like to go visit.
When you go there, ask for Chef Raymond. Raymond is the chef there, okay?
Okay.
And tell him I send you.
I will do that. I will definitely do that. Wow, I got the in now. I feel pretty special. The restaurant's called Cut, and tell me a little bit about that. It's mainly a steakhouse?
Cut is a modern steakhouse. It has a great bar where you also can eat at the bar from a little steak tartare or a great burger or some short ribs, bao buns, and things like that. And then the restaurant really has a great assortment of meats, obviously meats from all over the country and even all over the world. So, you know, steaks from Japan or from New Zealand or from Chile sometimes, and naturally from Nebraska, from Kansas, and you name it, from New Jersey, some grass-fed beef, or upstate New York, some grass-fed beef. And great Colorado lamb and fish, obviously, we're on the East Coast, so it's great to get great black bass and striped bass and lobsters and shrimps and soft shell crabs when they're in season. And then Zaira, our pastry chef, is really talented, so she makes an amazing array of desserts. Every day we have two kinds of pies, like it might be a blackberry pear pie, or it might be a wonderful peach pie in the summertime, or now in the wintertime, obviously, we have pecan pie or chocolate cream pie. So It's really a very special restaurant with great food, but really traditional American food revised and modernized.
You know, you've had a lot of worldwide influences on you when it comes to your career, cooking-wise. I mean, your mom was a chef. Was she a pastry chef? Is that how she is?
My mom was actually a chef in a hotel restaurant, in a resort hotel, and I used to go and visit her every summer. It was about 50 miles away from where I grew up. And so I spent the whole month with her, mostly in the kitchen, especially when the weather wasn't good to be on the lake or anything. So I was cooking with the pastry chef. I loved sweets a lot. And I think so. It was really a lot of fun.
And this was in Austria, correct?
This was in Austria, yeah.
But you kind of got a lot of your formal training in France. Isn't that true?
Yeah, absolutely. I started to professionally when I was 14. Then I moved to France when I was 17 and spent 7 years in France. And then I came to the United States, first to Indianapolis for a year and then in Los Angeles.
Yeah, so your influences are French and then, of course, American and new cuisine in California, which you kind of almost created. And then, of course, growing up in Austria.
Yeah, growing up in Austria. So it's really a little bit a hybrid, just the way what America is, you know, with a lot of different cultures. And so our cooking style is a little bit like that. And, you know, that cooking style, what we have now, it's becoming more and more international. You can go to France now and find similar restaurants like what we have.
You know, it's interesting. I just got back from Europe not too long ago, and I noticed that things like tacos and hamburgers are like everywhere now. Pizza. I mean, you used to be able to maybe find one place that served pizza, but now I find it like tacos and hamburgers everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how even just the simplest form of American food is now everywhere.
Yeah. No, but the best tacos to get, though, is still you go to Fairings. You know Fairings?
Yes. Fairings. Yes, Dean Fairing, yes.
You get his lobster taco. It's my favorite taco.
Next time I see him, I'm going to tell him that you are on my travel show and you said that. And I'm sure he probably knows about that because I know you're not shy about telling everybody about other chefs that you like. Can I ask you? You get to travel a lot, also. What country or what type of region has the most underrated type of food, an underrated type of cuisine?
Well, I think a lot of people don't talk about, like, for example, we go to Turkey often, to Istanbul, and I think they have great restaurants, great fish restaurants, but yet nobody talks about their cuisine a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of countries, Israel, for example, the same thing. The new younger chefs in Israel, they have amazing restaurants. So I think we all know about Peruvian cuisine by now or Argentinian meat restaurants and so forth. But I think the Middle Eastern countries really have started to change a lot.
Very interesting. Let me ask you on a totally different tactic. Do the Dutch use too much mayonnaise? Because I really feel that they do.
You know, I think the Dutch have not come out of their shell yet. I'm sure they have some very good restaurants. But nobody yet came out and said, I have to have some Dutch cuisine.
It's because of the mayonnaise, Wolfgang. I really think the mayonnaise is holding them back. They put a lot of it on their food.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, maybe we have to convert them and change and make some tacos and some good pizzas or something. And, you know, they have great seafood up on the North Sea.
Yes, they do. They definitely do. You know, I will say this, that one of the things about me when I travel, my wife and I travel, we spend so much time trying to see the sights. We often kind of neglect to find good places to eat. And I think that's one of the things that kind of we miss out a lot, because I think a lot of Americans do that. They rush so much when they travel, they don't spend time finding good places to eat and experiencing the cuisine of places they're visiting.
You know, that's so, so true. Even when I go, like I go skiing to Colorado, for example, and when I go with my American friends, they want to go to a fast food restaurant, swallow a hamburger or a hot dog, and then go back to ski. For me, it's an experience. I want to go to a nice restaurant, have a delicious lunch, and then go and ski maybe an hour less. But I had a great experience eating. And often when I go somewhere, I make my plans. It really depends on the restaurants. Like we were just in San Sebastian in Spain. And, you know, there it's probably one of the best restaurant cities in the world. So I was very excited. Sure, we went to visit the sites and everything. But I think my first sight was the restaurant.
That is so interesting that you said that about skiing, because my wife and I were going to Innsbruck in March this year, and I told my wife that the way that people in Europe ski is so different than the way in Americans. We get up early, we rush through breakfast, rush through lunch, and try to get as much time as we can skiing. In Europe, it's almost like you're going to the beach, that kind of attitude, where you're going to enjoy the whole day in the mountains.
Yeah, it's not just being on your skis, though I love skiing as much as anybody. But I think it's the whole experience, and that changes so much, you know, when you go and have your breakfast, then go out and ski for a while, and then you go have lunch, and then you go back ski a little more, and then have like a drink or something, a glass of wine afterwards, and relax, and then go to dinner. So I think, to me, it's the whole experience. And sometimes, I think in America, we try to overdo things, you know, or we want to ski, we want to be the first one out there and the last one in. And when I was a kid, I did that too. You know, I said, who cares about going to eat? I want to ski downhill as much as I can.
Yeah, I think that's so true. Well, Wolfgang, continued success. It was a pleasure to talk to you. Congratulations on the new restaurant opening in Manhattan. And thank you so much for your time. It was a true pleasure to have you on.
Thank you so much. Good to talk to you.
I'm going to be honest, I've just added my bucket list, skiing with Wolfgang Puck. I want to thank Wolfgang Puck for being part of our podcast. Also, Kaz Makepeace from the Wide Travel Blog. If you go to travelwithhawkeye.net, click on our blog, we'll have a link to her article about things to do in New York City over Christmas time. And don't forget to join us on our Instagram page, @HawkeyeOnAir, and we'll be sharing some of our vacation, our time in New York City. I'm Mark Hawkeye Lewis. This has been the Travel with Hawkeye podcast. Remember, the world is out there. Your adventure awaits.